It's time for the Horn High School Spotlight.
This is a great place. You can tell by the laminated high school football schedule on the wall.
With Texas High School Football Hall of Fame broadcaster, Craig Way.
We've got Texas High School football at its finest.
A complete look at high school football in the greater Austin, Central Texas area and across the state.
You don't know what you're going to get. This is high school sports.
The Horn High School Spotlight is brought to you by the Gina Rott Team at Keller Williams Realty. The Gina Rott Team, changing lives through real estate.
It's time to talk football.
Now, with the Horn High School Spotlight, here's Craig Way.
Scott Fisher, voice guy, is lying to you. It's not Craig Way today. It is me, Trey Elling, along with Brad Kellner, filling in from 10 to 11 before our usual duties from 11 to 1. And we're live out on location today from the Gamma Headquarters parking lot. That's on 183 and Peyton Jen Road. The physical address is 8801 183 for the Blue Santa Toy Drive, BK. Drop off your new unwrapped toys for Operation Blue Santa. There's an emphasis on toys for babies and teenagers. Those are the neglected groups when it comes to these sorts of toy drives. Come on out and get your picture with Blue Santa. You can also check out the APD Hummer and the Blue Santa Float will be back soon. Or you can also just donate cash by texting the word BLUE to 512-400-3088. That's 512-400-3088. The timing on this is interesting, Brad, because yesterday it was beautiful, and it's been really nice the last couple of weeks now. Temperatures dropped significantly this morning. I think after you actually went in for the morning show today, and it's a little bit windy and a little bit chillier than what we've come to expect over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it was nice and warm when I woke up at 4:30 this morning. I checked the iPhone Apple Weather, and it said 67 degrees with no percent chance of rain. So I was like, all right, this is great. I got a T-shirt on. I got some shorts. We'll be good to go. I walk outside. It's already pouring. So thanks, Steve Jobs or whoever's in charge, Tim Cook, whoever's in charge of Apple now for giving me misdirection there. But, yeah, it's going to get colder. And tomorrow, you know, I'm glad we're out here today and not tomorrow because I think the high tomorrow is in the 40s. It's cold and windy, but that's not an excuse, man. That's not an excuse. If you're going to do shopping, if you're just looking around the house, whatever you've got, unwrapped toys, it's cold in, or it's warm inside. It's warm inside. I just went by the store before this, dropped off a bunch of toys. We got a huge bucket in there right out here with us at Gamma. It's already halfway filled. All kinds of great stuff. We're with the crew at Brown Distributing. They distribute all the Bud Light, of course, the Altstadt beer as well. And if you come by with some toys, they've got Rudy's Breakfast Tacos to warm you up a little bit. They got coffee. They got drinks, whatever you need. So, hey, it's the holiday season. It's a good time to give. Help those less fortunate than us. We're very lucky, Trey, to get to do what we do every day. You know, talk about sports for a living. But more importantly, we have a home or an apartment to go to with a bed and heat and food and water and love and everything that we could need in this life. And there are plenty of those in our communities here in Central Texas that don't get those type of necessities to live. And it's that time of year to try to brighten somebody's life, a little bit of holiday spirit, holiday cheer. And come by today, bring some toys, and try to make a difference here in Central Texas.
True on all of that. This parking lot is on the northbound side of the access road for 183. The Salvation Army is also in the parking lot, but come on by, drop those toys off. Gamma Wholesale is the one who's really contributing today, so thank you very much to them for that. And we're really priming ourselves for what's happening after the show today, BK, because I brought this up about a week and a half ago. I went and tried out cryotherapy. Full body cryotherapy, head included, and I've had a conversation with Chase at US Cryotherapy Austin over on North Lamar and 31st Street. We're going over there to subject the both of us to negative 165 temperatures to see just how long we can last, and so I can show you that this some serious business, this cryotherapy.
We're doing the full body one? Like, our head's going to be there, too?
Head's in.
I thought the head was the only part that was free. It was just your full body.
This is what
we're walking
makes
in one of those, like, actual cages?
Yeah, it's like a meat locker, man.
I don't want to do that.
Negative 165 meat locker.
I'm volunteering for this?
You volunteered for this, and this is part of what makes this U.S. Cryotherapy Austin so unique, is that most of them really only do go up to the head, up to the shoulders.
Dude, I've got that irrational fear. You know, in all those movies and TV shows where the guy gets stuck in the meat freezer and he can't get out. He's like banging on the door. It's after hours. The restaurant's closed and nobody can help him. Is that going to happen to me today?
Well, fortunately, Chase is going to be right there. Glow is coming out there with us as well.
She'll leave me in there.
She may leave you in there, but she's going to Facebook Live it as well. So make sure to be logged into Facebook sometime around 1:30 or 2 o'clock because we're going to subject ourselves to brutally cold temperatures, but for health benefits.
I'm going to crush you in this, by the way, because you've got the jeans on, you've got your hands in your pockets, all kinds of layers. You look cold as all hell right now, which that's an oxymoron, I guess. You look freezing, though, some North Pole, whatever, coldness.
Yeah.
I'm great. I'm rocking the shorts today, no winter cap, no gloves, hands are out. It feels great. It's 55 degrees, man. Come on.
Yeah, it's 55, but the wind makes it feel a little bit cooler than that right now, at least where we are.
That's the Kansan in me, I guess, being from KC. You know, I only lived there for 6 or 7 years, but I got something in my blood that makes this okay, makes this doable for
that
me.
Was early in life, right?
Early in life, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I feel like even subjecting yourself to those sorts of conditions through the first 6 or 7 years of your life, it does leave you more capable of handling those things when it actually comes down. So I'm sure you were the kid. The occasional time it would snow up in the DFW area or even here in Austin when you were in school, people were freaking out, afraid to even walk outside their front doors, much less get on the road. You're like, come on, people.
I loved it. I loved the snow, man. I would love to have some here in Austin. Now, the way this winter has started, it's not looking too good, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful, man.
I did predict snow in the weather forecast yesterday, and there's now a chance of snow.
No, there's not.
For tomorrow.
No, there's
not. There's a chance of snow in Travis County, yes.
Wow, how about that? Is it
going
to get below 32, or is this going to be one of those 36 degree with a little bit of ice on the road, so we're going to go ahead and cancel every single school for 3 weeks, like we did a couple years ago? I'll never forget that. I was a sophomore at UT.
Yeah.
We had school canceled for snow days for about a week. No snow.
That's crazy.
No snow.
That's crazy. And that's what this place does, too. We were here for Christmas a couple years ago, around Christmas time, like the couple days beforehand. And we were here on like a Thursday or Friday, and they shut the entire city down just because there was a chance of ice. And it never even got down into freezing temperatures. It was like a low of 35.
Yeah, but come out here. It's doable. I'm telling you, if you're going shopping today, it's obviously heated up a little bit inside. There's plenty of stores around here if you're in the 183 Peyton Gin area. Wherever you're at, we're going to be out here until 7 o'clock. Of course, Trey and I will be rolling until 1, but Rod Babers will be out here. Chad and Kevin will be going a little bit, and their show ends at about 5:30 today for Texas basketball. And I guess we could start right there talking sports, Trey.
Sure.
The Texas Longhorns men's basketball team, a homecoming of sorts for Shaka Smart. He returns to the Siegel Center in Richmond tonight. Texas VCU on the hardwood. Of course, Shaka Smart coached at VCU for 6 years before coming to Texas.
Yep.
And there's still some players on that team, some of the seniors on VCU. They have three guys in their starting lineup, including their leading scorer, Justin Tillman, and Jonathan Williams, one of their other best players. Three seniors in the starting lineup who were with Shaka Smart during Shaka's last year at VCU. So despite the fact that this is year three for Shaka in Austin, still some familiarity with some of the players on VCU, and of course the court and the fan base. I'm expecting a pretty warm reception for Shaka Smart tonight.
In the beginning.
Oh, yeah. But once it's tip-off, that place is going to be ruckus, crazy loud. It's going to be a tough game for Texas to win tonight, winning on the road.
Yeah, a couple things I'm really going to be watching tonight. One is the matchup with Tillman and Osatkowski, two guys who are very versatile for big dudes. Tillman runs about, I think he's 6'8", and he's got some heft to him as well, 240 pounds or so. Similar build to Osatkowski. But also the Longhorn secondary ball handlers, they're going to be needed tonight because VCU does employ that pressing strategy that Shaka Smart really popularized during his days in Richmond. And so this will be a fascinating matchup for them. This will be the first raucous environment that they'll have dealt with all year. They don't have a ton of these games, especially out of conference play.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to this game as much as the Gonzaga, maybe a little bit less than the Duke matchup, but it's along those lines. VCU, I believe, is a 5-3 on the year now. So they've been tested early on, but they've been a very good team at home too. So let's see how these youngsters for Texas really handle things.
Yeah, and for Texas, you know, this team didn't win one true road game last year.
No, they didn't.
Not one. So until I see that, I don't know how much of a believer I am in this team. Texas is a 5-point favorite in this game, despite it being on the road.
Okay.
Texas is a better team than VCU. They've got more talent than this VCU bunch. The Rams lost a lot. They made the tournament last year, lost in the first round to St. Mary's, and they've got a new coach as well. So Will Wade was the coach who took over for Shaka after Shaka came here. Will Wade left in the last offseason for LSU, which really puzzled and kind of ticked off a lot of VCU fans. LSU, not much of a basketball school.
No.
But Will Wade was looking for a way to get out of there and, I guess, get to a bigger name program. Easier to recruit at LSU still than VCU.
That's true.
So they've got Coach Rhodes, who's been at Rice for the last few years, who'd actually worked with Shaka Smart in the past. So you've got more familiarity there. But this VCU team, they're all right. They're 5-3. One of their losses is to Michigan, Trey, a team that Texas plays next week.
Common opponent,
common
sure.
Common opponent. So Michigan's not that good. I've watched them play a couple times.
They got
choked away.
Slaughtered by North Carolina
they
last
did,
week.
They did, and they choked away like a 25-point first-half lead to Ohio State last night. And Ohio State's not very good. So this is a winnable game for Texas. The big question is, can they go out and play on the road? And the biggest difference from last year's team and this year's team, well, I think you can argue the three most important players for the Horns this year did not play last year. Dylan Osikowski, Mo Bamba, and the point guard Matt Coleman. So all of those dudes, they weren't a part of last year's 11-win team. I think those guys are going to be crucial. I know it's weird to bank on freshmen getting it done on the road, but if Matt Coleman can keep preventing turning the ball over, which he's done a good job of, Osikowski can be the floor general that he's been, and we can get a little bit more out of Mo Bamba on both ends of the floor. This is a game that Texas can win tonight.
I was reluctant to put too much stock into Matt Coleman coming in as a true freshman. I know he is a natural point guard, so that matters to a degree, but you always have to have reservations with true freshmen coming in at such an important position. But Matt Coleman has been one of the more consistent players on this year's team.
Yeah, he has.
I'm blown away by what he's done through the first month of the season so far.
No doubt about it. The assist-to-turnover ratio has been solid. And, of course, if you watched this Texas team last year, you know they were lacking a true point guard throughout every game.
Yeah.
They didn't have a guy on the roster who was capable of being the floor general. Now they've got two. They got a point guard with Coleman and a point forward in Osikowski. Those guys have been nice. And Trey, it is very cold here. I have come around. I feel like the wind is being picked up over the microphone, too, so you guys can kind of hear what we're dealing with. But I'd be lying to you if I said it wasn't that all cool.
You were talking really tough about 5 minutes
ago. I'm still
fine.
I still got the shorts. I still got the hands out. But, I can't sit here. And the worst part of this is I got too much hair. I need to do something with my hair. I've said that on the show for about a month now. And I guess if you watch Facebook Live during our little cryotherapy deal later, you'll get to see what it looks like. But I tried to put some, because I knew it was going to be windy today.
Yeah.
So I tried to put a little bit of product in my hair just to slick it back so it would stay up and not get in my eyes.
Yeah.
And it's not working. The wind is up.
It's got to be the hair, Cotton. It's beautiful. Feathered and
thank
lethal.
It's
you just don't see it nowadays.
Well, there's a good reason you don't see it nowadays. It's a problem. I got to do something with this.
You really need to use those headphones as like a headband sort of deal, like a like what women do where they're brushing it back with that the half circle.
No, I'm not doing that. If I get to that point, then I really need a haircut.
Okay.
I'm not going with the KD headband. No, KD does that too. That's a ridiculous look.
He does. The Civil War head wound victim.
Look. I don't know what that is. I feel like there's blood stains coming out of there from taking a bullet or something back in the Civil War.
Yeah.
But that's a look for the ladies, man. That's not a man look. Don't go with the ponytail, man bun, whatever you call it. You don't rock the headband. That's if I get to that point, it's coming off. Man.
You're a hat guy. You're a baseball cap style guy. Do you do the visor at all?
No, don't do the visor.
Do you do like the fedora?
No.
Okay,
I'm not Anwar Richardson, man. I don't do the fedora.
So you only go as far as the baseball cap, and that's it. And then occasionally the yarmulke, too.
Yeah, the occasional yarmulke when I'm in services, of course, praying. Hanukkah coming up a week from tonight. I know you guys are excited about that. By you guys, I mean me and 0.01% of the listeners out there. But it's coming up. We're excited for that.
Are you missing a day?
I miss for work. I'm going to miss all 8 days, baby. We taking off.
Are you?
No.
Oh, phew.
I can't do that. That'd be a problem. I know it's like against the law to discriminate and not let people take off work for religious holidays, but I'm not going to. Plus, Hanukkah's not a huge holiday for us. Like Christmas is a big deal.
Yeah.
For the Christians, right? It's, Jesus and things. But for Hanukkah, we were just kind of jealous that all the Christian kids were getting toys, so we overemphasized this one a little bit.
Dude, I've got a gift for you at the station. I forgot about it until now. I've had it since last week, and I keep forgetting to give it to you.
Save it for the 12th. Save it for the first night.
It's something you've been asking for, and I want you to be able to get these Christmas or the Hanukkah lights up, I should say.
Thanks for telling me what the gift is. I have to get you a gift, too.
Not at all. Justine's the one who hooked this up, so if anything, maybe get Vivian and Justine something.
All right, we can make that happen.
I'm the Scrooge McDuck over here who only believes in giving on this day. I don't believe in receiving, and that's why we're out here for
there
the Blue Santa Toy Drive today. Gamma Headquarters, 183 Peyton Jen Roan Road, accepting your new unwrapped toys for Operation Blue Santa. The emphasis here is on the really young ones, the babies, the infants, the toddlers, and then also teenagers as well. Those are the two groups really neglected during toy drives this time of year.
We'll take whatever you have, man. And then I think next Saturday, the 16th, is the distribution date around the city. So
okay.
You can come out. I got to figure out where that is exactly. I don't want to spread fake news, but it's a Saturday morning. You can come out with your kids, whatever, your
Very
friends.
Cool.
and just pick up a bunch of toys, as many as you can fit in your car, and drive them around the city.
That's great.
Actually deliver it to the homes, the people who need these gifts. So it's an awesome thing. Blue Santa, it's been going on here in Austin for a long time. It's a great cause, and once again, the season of giving, man. Make it happen.
So every Christmas, all the way up until we started having kids, and I hate to say it like that, but when you have really young kids, it makes this whole process a little bit more difficult. For Christmas, for a number of years, first me on my own, maybe with a buddy, but then also including Justine in this whole process, we would actually go to a soup kitchen or a place like that and volunteer on Christmas Day.
Nice.
I feel like the kids are starting to get back to the age where that might be doable again. Maybe not this year because Calvin's one, but next year when he's two, Vivian will be four at that time, and she can really comprehend what this time of year really means a whole lot more than Santa Claus and receiving toys and things like that, because she has a lot of family members who are way too generous with things. Too generous, if you ask me. We have so
much. Those are the best. The aunts, the uncles, the grandparents.
Yes.
They just give you all the stuff and love you too much. Awesome.
Too much love is can be a bad thing. But so I feel like we're getting back to that point as well. So if you have a suggestion for a really good place to volunteer on Christmas days, please send those into the Specs text line 337-3776. We're looking for options, if not this year, next year for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. It's the season of giving. All right, Trey, some Texas football news. This broke during the afternoon show. Of course, you were talking with Chad and Kevin about this yesterday. Another Texas player leaving early for the NFL. This one probably the least surprising of all of the moves that we might hear over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that and Connor.
Cornerback Holton Hill has decided to forego his senior season, and he will put his name into the NFL draft. Of course, he's been suspended for the last three games. He would have been suspended for the bowl game, so wouldn't have played in that one as well. And the belief is that that suspension would have carried over to the first two games next year, so Maryland. And is USC second next year, or is it the cupcake game second?
I feel like USC is second next year.
So Maryland and USC, whatever, the first two games of next year's season.
No, it's Tulsa.
It is Tulsa.
And then USC is the third game.
So Holton Hill was going to miss those two games, most likely. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, no surprise that he's leaving early. Had a heck of a year as a cornerback for Texas. Trey, I know you're a huge fan of the way he played.
Yeah.
Obviously was in the doghouse with Charlie Strong, was in the doghouse this year with Tom Herman getting that suspension. So got some stuff to clean up off the field, perhaps, but on the field, this kid can absolutely play.
He can, and I think people will look back on Holton Hill's time here years from now and realize what a missed opportunity that was. And part of that's on Holton Hill, obviously, too. He's getting suspended for good reasons by two different coaching staffs now. I believe he's going to be a stud at the next level. He's going to be a perennial Pro Bowl player, potential to be All-American, not All-American, but All-Pro at the cornerback position in the league. And it was a joy to get to watch him through nine games this year. And best of luck to him on the next level. Malik Jefferson, meanwhile, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, BK. We had talked about how he had some quiet games to end the season. First with West Virginia, a game that Texas won, of course, and then Texas Tech, and he was still putting up decent stats in those games, but he looked like a slightly different player. Well, we found out the reason why. With the toe injury that's kept him out of practice, likely to keep him out of the bowl game, he's probably going to announce his intention to go pro sometime in the next week or so. But he injured that toe in the Kansas game, and it makes sense, that time frame, considering just how he was less of an impact player in the two games that followed.
Yeah, no doubt. He's one of those guys, like you said, will probably bolt early. So that gives you Connor Williams, Malik, Deshaun Elliott, and Holton Hill right now. Maybe a couple more to come.
Are you listening to some of the other names that are testing, not necessarily testing the draft waters, but asking for draft grades right now?
Who am I missing? Chris Boyd is in there. Aminahue is in there.
Aminahue. Chris Nelson?
I have heard Chris Nelson. Yeah, I have heard that name. I'm not entirely
sure. I think
he
could be a talented player for this team next year. He certainly is not ready for the NFL.
Who is telling these guys that they need to go pro?
Like, I don't know,
maybe,
man.
They just don't like the new coaching staff, or they don't want to put in the work at the collegiate level. And I'm not going to knock a kid for wanting to go to the NFL and make money. I always say, you only have a certain number of snaps as a football player. You saw it last night, right? Ryan Shazier, the linebacker for the Steelers. That dude, a bright, young player, a stud for the Steelers, just a couple years out of school. You thought he was going to play in this league for the long time. Now we don't know what the future holds. He had that nasty injury, got carted off, a back injury, a spine injury, and reports are that he's going to be okay, but who knows? You know, that's football, right? You never know what snap is going to be your last one. That's
that way in life, much less a sport that's violent.
No doubt about it. So I will never knock a kid for wanting to go and make money while they can playing football, but these kids, just if they stay another year, they can build their draft stock and make more money. they're just not ready for the NFL. I don't want these kids to go in there and then not be good enough and flame out or get undrafted or get cut during training camp. All right, these kids need the preparation. That's what makes college football and college basketball different, right? So many college basketball kids leave too early and go to the NBA because of the one-and-done rule. College football, the rule was there for a reason, and if you're not going to be a top two- or three-round pick, why would you leave early even in football? It makes no sense to me. You got a chance to improve your stock by staying.
I feel like part of what it is with these particular kids is that a number of their classmates are going pro now, and part of them doesn't want to be left out in that whole process. So even if it means they're a mid- to late-round draft pick, they're at least considering that. Now, based on what I'm reading through 24/7, through Inside Texas, through the Football Brainiacs, several of these guys, if they're not receiving high-round grades, first-round projections, which they're not going to, they will be coming back to school next year. And there is a possibility that a Minihue is lumped in that category. So we'll see. But I also understand the guys who you really came into school with. I know Chris Nelson is an exception. He redshirted his freshman year, so he's a year ahead of a lot of these other guys. But you see your boys about to go to the league and make millions to play the game that they love and really what has been a life goal for a long time, I'm assuming, for a lot of these guys. You feel a little bit left out, so you at least want to test the process to see if you might get lumped into that.
Well, if you're comparing yourself to your boys, Connor Williams and Malik Jefferson, who are going to be first-round picks and actually make millions of dollars out the chute, that's a poor comparison if you're Charles Minihue or if you're Chris Boyd. The guys are going to be day three draft picks, most likely. Now, are Deshaun Elliott, is that in the group that you mentioned, or is that dude as good as gone? That dude's not testing the waters. That guy's already announced it, right?
Yeah, he's already announced that he's not playing in the bowl game either, and projections have him somewhere between a second and fourth round pick right now.
I could see that.
I would be surprised by second. I could see third or fourth a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, a Thorpe Award finalist, he's one of those guys. Look, I think he could have gotten better and improved his stock next year, but I get the sentiment after a season like this that he had wanted to leave early. So we'll see. Nobody has any idea who's going to play in this bowl game in 22 days. Of course, against Mizzou, the Texas Bowl.
The Tigers are favorites early on.
The Tigers are favored early on, and the more and more Texas people leave, that the line might start increasing a little bit. And, hey, you know, this team is focused on defense, and if they're going to lose half their starters for this bowl game, I don't know what to expect. So, all right, we're rolling. It's the High School Spotlight / Midday with Trey and BK. Come out and see us. We're at the Gamma Wholesale parking lot right next to the Salvation Army. We're here with Brown Distributing, the Blue Santa Toy Drive. We've got a huge bin. Donate your unwrapped toys. We've got a couple of people who have come by this morning. We're going to be out here until 7 p.m. tonight. Come make a difference in a child's life this holiday season. Bring some joy, some spirit, and spread the love here in Central Texas. And, hey, come out for a taco. Come out and say hi to us, whatever you got cooking. Get off of work for a little bit for Pete's sake. But Trey and I will be back. We're talking all kinds of sports today. It is a Tuesday edition of the show. You're listening to The Horn.
Welcome back to the Horn High School Spotlight, presented by the Gene Arant team at Keller Williams Realty. The Gene Arant team, changing lives through real estate.
Live from the Gamma headquarters parking lot at 183 and Peyton Gin Road, it's BK and me filling in for Craig Way on the High School Spotlight for the next 30 minutes now before the midday show really gets going. We're out here for the Blue Santa Toy Drive. Drop off your new unwrapped toys for Operation Blue Santa. There are pictures with Blue Santa available here shortly, as well as the APD Hummer. It's already out here. And a Blue Santa float will be by soon. If you can't drop by to bring those new unwrapped toys, you can donate money by texting the word BLUE to 512-400-3088. That's 512-400-3088. Brad?
You're my boy, Blue.
Yeah, boy, Blue.
That's, you know, we're out here, man. We're surviving the elements. Feels good. We got a good crew out here. Brown Distributing's here. We got High Brew Coffee. Everybody's out here. We got Rudy's Tacos. Come by. Donate some unwrapped toys. Help the kids out this holiday season and get you some free food, some free coffee, man. Get off of work. You have my permission. I'll talk to your boss. I got this. Right? I'm 23. I'm a professional. I'll tell your boss you have my permission to get off of work and donate some toys and get some free grub around here. Come meet us. And, hey, it's a good time, man. It's good to be here.
Big fan of the High Brew Coffee.
Yes.
You see it all over the grocery stores now. And whenever I'm in a pinch and can't make it at home myself, which is quite often these days, I just stop in. Usually it's at Whole Foods for me, or HEB, of course.
You're one of those Whole Foods guys, aren't
you? Some hybrid.
What? Central Market and Whole Foods. You're one of those people.
It just depends on the. It just depends on what I'm going in for. It's probably HEB more than anything else. One, for convenience. Two, because it's HEB, and HEB is the greatest grocery store on the planet.
There
but,
you
yes,
go.
Occasionally I do have to turn to Whole Foods for certain things. But Hi-Brew is one of those brands that is local. It's Austin-owned and operated, and they're really all over the grocery stores here now. And it's a great version of cold brew coffee.
Yeah, I'm one of the common folk. You know, I shop at HEB and Randall's and those spots. I don't do the Central Market Whole Foods.
Well, Randall's
That's
is
all
right
healthy
around the,
and organic. Yeah. It's just not for me. You know, I'm not. I don't call myself an Austinite. I'm not. I don't get what you people do with your diets and your habits and spending more money on the same quality of stuff. That's just not my bit, man. I don't do that.
Whole Foods has a lot of not good for you items as well. I think you would be surprised by that. Like really good
half fat free ice cream.
Really good varieties of cheeses. They do have soy and coconut milk ice creams as well.
Nope.
If you're really looking for an alternate to the ice cream,
I'm not looking for an alternate to the ice cream. I don't know why you would, unless you're lactose intolerant. Ice cream is delicious.
And they also have a better meat selection than most grocery stores around, too. Fresh meat.
Oh, man, I just get, like, those big Oscar Mayer tubs of turkey. Stick it in the fridge. It lasts longer. They got all them preservatives in there.
All them preservatives. I like that. If you have something that you wanted to contribute on the high school football playoffs, that's going on. Obviously, that's what this hour is normally all about. Please do text in 337-3776. Eventually, we will have internet connection. Once we have that, we'll be able to read some of your text off. But in the meantime, we're happy to hear from you. If you're excited about the Lake Travis matchup down in San Antonio, or the Westlake game, or even McCallum, you've got a triple header on Saturday with all involving Austin teams, or perhaps it's the Pflugerville, Cedar Ridge matchup happening in Pflugerville on Saturday afternoon
Pafield.
As well. The Pafield.
I'm not calling it the field. It's the Pafield.
They call it the Pafield, though, right?
I don't know.
I would hope so.
I assume they wanted it to be called the field, but I would guess people around there call it the Pafield, which I don't get. I don't like that.
You don't like the Pafield?
No, you don't. If you're, why would you put the P there? If you're not trying to call it the Pafield,
because it's Pflugerville.
I call it Pflugerville. You don't call it Pflugerville? That's only my bit right there. No, it's cool though. Three games back to back to back at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, all Austin area squads. So hey, there's no college football on Saturday. If you're looking for some football action, get down to the Alamo Dome. It's inside, right? Indoors,
yeah.
If you're worried about the weather. It'll be a good time. I actually might do that. I actually might go down there for some high school football. It's been a while. I haven't been to a game this year.
There is one college football game on Saturday.
Guys. Oh, it's the best game. The Army-Navy.
Why
America's
did you just
game.
Do that?
I don't know. It's my favorite game of the year. I don't know.
All season long.
Because no one ever advertises it or talks about it.
That's true.
And it's the only game that happens this Saturday in college football. Deservedly so. It deserves its own day.
Unfortunately, we were supposed to carry that game on Saturday, but we're now neglecting it because we have high school football to cover instead.
There you go, military. Come on. Man. Anyway, so we're having a good time. We're out here. Come bring your toys. Trey, a little Monday Night Football talk last night. The Pittsburgh Steelers get the win over the Cincinnati Bengals.
Nice comeback for
23-20. Plenty of things to get to. We mentioned the Ryan Shazier injury a little bit earlier. Our thoughts and prayers and best wishes are to him. The most recent update, which we don't have Wi-Fi out here, so this is an hour ago, but that he's okay. Hopefully going to leave the hospital in the Cincinnati area today. Obviously, that was really tough to watch last night, lying pretty much motionless, at least the lower half of his body being motionless for a couple of minutes on the ESPN broadcast. That was tough to see. So thoughts out to Ryan Shazier, of course, and his family. Trey, let's start with the game itself before we get into some of the extracurriculars.
Sure.
Because nowadays when the Steelers and Bengals play in the AFC North, it's one of the best divisions in all of sports, right? Those teams with the Steelers, the Bengals, the Browns, and, of course, the Ravens, they all can't stand each other. They hate each other.
Right.
That's a big-time brand of smash-mouth football, and you're going to get some physical play. But with the Steelers and Bengals recently, it's gotten out of hand a little bit, some people think. But last night, I've been saying this for years. How does Marvin Lewis still have a job, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals? I mean, last night is just a testament to how that dude cannot get it done in Cincinnati. And I know the Bengals have made a couple of playoff runs the last few years. Now they lose to the Texans and T.J. Yates every time they get there.
Huh.
But this team, and I think after this year it might be the end of Marvin Lewis, but they had a big, hefty lead over Pittsburgh in the second half yesterday.
Yeah.
Plenty of opportunities to put the Steelers away, and their offense just went MIA in the final quarter and a half of that ball game. They got kind of ripped off on that offensive holding play. They had a touchdown in the second half, a long pass from Dalton to A.J. Green. They called it very BS hold on Giovanni Bernard that brought the play back. But after that, they couldn't get anything going offensively. And it was the Steelers playing on the road with the adversity of losing a teammate. Right? They look like the confident team when Cincinnati should have had all the momentum, and they fell. They fell into a shell, and they became the Bengals of old, and they couldn't find a way to get it done.
Lewis has become the closest thing to Jeff Fisher now that Fisher is no longer a head coach in this league. You feel like he almost has photos on the Cincinnati ownership that's allowing him to stay in that position. But also, he's a coach who the players do love.
Yeah, they do
unlike
love him.
Unlike Jeff Fisher, who I think by the end everybody was tired of his act. But yeah, Pittsburgh with the big comeback yesterday. And I'm hearing a lot of back and forth on the perfect hit today by Juju Smith-Schuster. And I'm having a hard time understanding why so many people are sympathizing with perfect on that. It was a legal hit. Yeah, he was a little bit behind the play. But you see guys come from behind plays to make tackles all the time, especially tenacious linebackers like that. But Burfict has been asking for this his entire career now. He's one of the dirtiest players in the league.
Yep.
For him to have it paid back to him, especially by the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not sympathetic at all. He's asking for this.
Yeah, you know, in the locker room after the game,
karma.
They were talking to just all the Steelers players, yeah. And Antonio Brown was walking around yelling, karma.
Karma.
And they were talking about the Burfict hit. Look, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. I get that bit, but it's kind of funny, and look, Juju Smith-Schuster didn't have to make that hit. It was a crackback block. It wasn't necessary. It was a little bit behind the play.
But it was a legal block,
but
though.
It was a legal block, right? He led it with the shoulder, and it's just funny. 10 years ago, even. I mean, people always talk about the 70s and the 80s and
yeah.
The brand of Smash Mouth and hard-hitting football, and nobody had any regards for their body. Nobody really knew, you know, the safety repercussions of what was going on when you hit like that.
Yep.
Even 5-10 years ago, people were not talking about that as a problematic hit. And nowadays, even old-school football fans have just softened up so much, saying, oh, it's a dirty hit, you can't have that. Dude, I mean, it's just part of the decline of football. If you're taking away hits like that, blocks like that, I know it wasn't completely necessary, but that was a clean play in the NFL. It got flagged, and then Smith-Schuster now stood over Vontaze Burfict and got another flag for that. You shouldn't do that, but it's just the game has changed so much, and people have gotten so soft, and the people who watch the game, who always say they clamor for old-school, hard-hitting football, are now brainwashed by just the state of the NFL right now and the state of football, saying that, we can't have hits like that. That's unacceptable. That's a cheap shot, and look, I get trying to sympathize with player safety. It's an important issue in the NFL. You got to find a way to make the game safer. I get that. It's just crazy to me how much the game has changed. We're crackback blocks, legal crackback blocks like that, just because a guy's not looking is all of a sudden a dirty play and you should suspend Juju Smith-Schuster. That's ridiculous to me.
No, this is not the same thing as the Rob Gronkowski play from Sunday where he's just pouncing on a guy and concusses him. It was clearly a dirty play.
That,
the guy was out of bounds.
That is a problem.
That deserved a suspension. What happened last night with Juju Smith-Schuster does not deserve a suspension.
No.
Maybe you find that. I mean, he got two 15-yard penalties, the second one for the taunting. So maybe you throw a small fine out. You don't make him miss a game for that.
And Antonio Brown,
it was a football play.
Antonio Brown on his game-tying touchdown took a helmet-to-helmet.
That was a dirty hit.
That was way worse of a hit than what Juju Smith-Schuster
Such
did.
Such a Cincinnati hit.
And that's the one getting talked about.
We
so.
Talked about the cream of the crop in the NFL
yeah.
yesterday. This was a great game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, really keeping they weren't going to be knocked off track on the entire season, but that's the type of game you could easily see a team like that losing on national television, going into a hostile environment, but they found a way to persevere, come back in that game too, and I'm hard-pressed to see any other teams in the AFC that are going to make it to that conference championship game versus the Steelers and the Patriots
yeah,
right now.
I'm with you. They didn't cover the line last night, which doesn't make a whole lot of cousins out there happy.
Good teams win, great teams cover, right?
You're right. Look, Pittsburgh, people are a little bit hesitant to buy in on them, maybe, because they barely beat the Colts, right? They needed a big comeback to beat the Colts a couple of weeks ago. Last week against Brett Hundley in the shorthanded Green Bay Packers on Sunday night, they needed a game-winning field goal to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night against a sub-500 Bengals team, they were down early and needed a game-winning field goal to win. So, you know, people aren't they're not seeing the domination of the Steelers that we're used to seeing. But you're right, Trey. I mean, they're 10-2. You are what your record says you are. You can't knock any team in this league who is 10-2. I don't care how bad it's looked. That's the difference between pro sports and college sports. They know style points in professional sports. All you got to do is win games, right? College football, you know, it's style points. How bad do you beat teams? What's the resume look like? In the NFL, you get seeded. based off how many games you win, based off your record. The Steelers and Pats play in a couple of weeks in Pittsburgh. The winner of that game is in the driver's seat for home field advantage, and that's going to be huge. I still think New England's the team to beat in the NFL. That's not a hot take. I'm sorry. Right? They've earned that reputation. And the defense for the Patriots that sucked so much early on, they're back on track. They're holding great offenses to less than 10 points now. They look really good. But you're right, Trey. Pittsburgh and New England, and it sort of feels like everybody else in the AFC. It's those two teams.
He's Brad Kellner. I am Trey Elling. We're filling in for Craig Way on the High School Spotlight all the way till 11 o'clock when Midday with Trey and BK gets going. Even though you're not hearing Craig right now, you will hear him coming up next on the Whataburger Top 5. You're listening to The Horn.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's Double Meat with Cheese Edition.
Here we go.
Top 10 rankings.
There are two very distinct things that are absolutely great about this coming week's quarterfinal round of the Texas High School Football Playoffs. One is that we're just now halfway through the postseason, and we've already seen huge upsets and down-to-the-wire finishes in each of the first 3 weeks of the playoffs. Without signing a blood oath on the matter, I can almost guarantee you that there will be similar stories scripted this weekend. You may remember that I mentioned last week that some of the biggest upsets in the state happened in round three for whatever reason. And that did happen. You need look only no further than Hendrickson's stunning win over previously undefeated and fourth-ranked Sachse for proof in the 6A playoffs. But if round three is routinely upset week in the playoffs, round four, the quarterfinal round, seems to produce some of the best down-to-the-wire endings of games. So here, in this Tuesday double meat with cheese edition of the top five, do you get the top five games most likely to end in a nail-biting finish? Number five is Westlake versus Steele in the 5A Division II quarterfinal on Saturday night at the Alamo Dome at 8 o'clock. Westlake is unbeaten, and Steele has four losses. So why might this game be good? Because Steele has rediscovered its state finalist form of a season ago after a 1-4 start, and the Knights' defense against that Westlake offense could produce some big moments. Number four is Liberty Hill versus La Vega at Leo Buckley Stadium in Killeen on Friday night in the 4A Division I quarterfinals. I know, La Vega is number four in the state and dominated Liberty Hill in their first meeting, but the Panthers are now running the ball better than ever, and if they can continue to run the ball effectively, this game could wind up being a high-scoring shootout. Number three is Wimberley versus Cuero at Bastrop Memorial Stadium in the 4A Division II playoffs on Friday night. Cuero is undefeated and fifth ranked, but the Gobblers defense will certainly be tested by JoJo Weeks in the Texans passing game. Number two is Hendrickson versus Cedar Ridge on Saturday afternoon at the field in Pflugerville. Hendrickson Cedar Ridge Part 2, one of nine rematches this week in the quarterfinals, and with the way the Hawks are running the ball, they might have a chance to stand toe to toe with a Cedar Ridge team that is having a landmark historic season for the young program. And the number one close call possibility is Mason versus Refurio. The number two and number five teams in the state in Class 2A collide in the Alamo Dome on Friday night in the 2A Division I quarterfinals. Punishing defenses, steamrolling offenses, it has all the earmarks of a classic. And there are your Whataburger top five thrillers to watch for in this week's quarterfinals. I'm Craig Way.
Thank you very much, Craig. Craig Way normally occupies this time slot. I think he'll be back tomorrow after Texas and VCU are done playing. They're taking the red eye back, and then he will be back in the driver's seat from 10 to 11. In the meantime, it is Brad Kellner and me, Trey Elling, live from the Blue Santa Toy Drive. We're at the Gamma Headquarters parking lot, 183 Peyton Jin Road. Technical address is 8801 183 Boulevard. Drop off your new unwrapped toys for Operation Blue Santa while you're out here. Come take a picture with Blue Santa. He just arrived back to these premises.
Blue Santa! He's real, man. He's real. I thought the dude wore red.
Well, he wears a blue tooth as well.
Oh, nice. So Blue Santa is like the South Pole guy, right? The North Pole is the red Santa, and then South Pole is Blue Santa. He's a little slimmer than what I expected Red Santa to be.
Well, I'm wondering if Blue Santa maybe keeps his home in the off season down in Laredo or something, so he's not having to have so much heft to deal with the cold conditions of the North Pole.
You know, Santa, with all of his reindeer and all of his power, you think he'd choose Laredo as his home?
That's a good point.
That's
too.
What you're going to go with, Laredo? Come
maybe,
on, man.
Maybe Costa Rica.
Yeah,
maybe,
something like that, like a nice resort or something like that for the other 11 months of the year or 364 days of the year. You know,
that's valid. But also the APD Hummer is out here. There's going to be a Blue Santa float a little bit later as well. Come on by with those unwrapped new toys. Special emphasis on toys for babies, infants, toddlers, that age range, and also teenagers. That's the group that's really neglected this time of year. Everybody wants to buy toys for the 8 and 9 year olds out there, but it's the older and younger groups that really need a boost. And there's Rudy's breakfast tacos. There's High Brew coffee. We also have Drink Heyday coffee as well. Heyday coffee is out here.
Nice.
We've got an old refurbished pickup truck. And just come on by and say hello to us. Rod Babers is going to be here from 1 to 3 as well. Chad and Kevin from 3 to 5:30.
So you're doing all these advertisements, all the sponsors who are out here, and you say an old refurbished pickup truck? That's not going to get people to come here.
It's a pretty cool pickup truck. It's like straight out of Dazed and Confused.
Come out and see the pickup truck too. But we're here with the folks at Brown Distributing as well, putting on this great event. This is awesome, man. The bin is already half full. Our boss, Lise Hudson, just came by and dropped off a bunch of Razor scooters. Remember those? Back in the day, was that my childhood more than yours?
More than mine, yes. Oh. But the Razor scooters are still a big thing. As a matter of fact, we're getting one for the 3-year-old this year.
Oh, don't tell her. She's in school, right? You're okay.
She's in Montessori right now. If she's listening, well, she's already on a path to degeneracy,
yeah.
So she can go ahead and hear it.
She'll follow after you. So I had a Razor scooter my senior year of high school up in the Metroplex.
Wait, those things last until your senior year?
Oh, yeah. So I had one of those my senior year of high school up in DFW. I bought my own Ranger season tickets with a buddy. We each bought nosebleed seats, but 81 times two, 81 yeah. Rangers games. And what we did, the parking pass for the season tickets was like twice as much as the tickets themselves.
That's funny.
So we're like, we're not doing that. We're not paying for no parking pass. So we found, through the help of some buddies, an abandoned synagogue about 20-minute walk away, about a mile away from the Ranger Stadium,
yeah.
The temple up there in Arlington. So what we would do is, we would park in that abandoned synagogue, and we would Razor scooter towards the ballpark. Now, you obviously can't bring the scooter into the ballpark, so we found this little bridge, this walkway bridge, pretty close to the stadium, and we'd hide our Razor scooters underneath there, under the bridge. And then after the game, we'd go and pick them up. So we did that for a couple of months into the season, and then one day, right, normal protocol, drop the scooter off, walk into the ballpark. After the game come out, scooters were gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, somebody had jacked the scooter. So
had y'all gotten a little bit lax on making sure nobody else was around when you were putting the scooters under the bridge?
No, I'm sure it was just, maybe a homeless guy or something like that who just needed, just found the scooters, right? I'm going to steal these and give them to my kids or take them for myself, whatever. Can't knock them. They were there.
No way a homeless guy is going to take that Razor scooter and
have
to put the trash bag of cans over one shoulder and hold on to the Razor scooter on the other shoulder. That's not happening.
Easy transportation. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I guess it's going to be our actual show, Midday with Trey and BK, our normal hours. Of course, we've been filling in for Craig Way on the High School Spotlight. Craig will be back tomorrow. I assume Todd Dodge will be in studio, the normal Wednesday protocol. And if you're an LT fan, you're used to Hank Carter on Tuesdays. He will join Craig on Thursday of this week. So be on the lookout for that. When we come back, though, we'll start our show. We'll have a good time. We're out of Gamma. Come see us. Midday with Trey and BK starts next.